So back in September of 1972, I joined a bowling league. It was a company bowling league. And so I'd never bowled before. And I thought I would join this league. And it wasn't long after I started in the league, I noticed this girl I'd never met before. Found out she was another employee's daughter who didn't work at the company, but she always joined the bowling league each year, apparently. One fellow introduced me to her, and I realized that that's who she was. And over time, I found out that she was a pretty good bowler. She bowled 5-pin and she bowled 10-pin. She had 2 brothers and 3 sisters. She was 2 years older than me. I found out that she liked to ski, and she only lived a block away from me down the street. I knew she worked in downtown Vancouver on the 27th floor of the Pacific Center office building. Scary ride up the elevator, 27 floors. She worked for an insurance company. I also found out that this beautiful woman did not have a boyfriend, and her name was Kathy. On Valentine's Day in 1973, I proposed to Kath and asked her to marry me. And on July the 14th of that same year, we were married. And I started to know Kathy, but I didn't really know her at that time when we got married. I knew her. I knew a little bit about her, but I didn't really know her. I don't think I really had a close enough relationship with her, but I know her now because I know her because we have such a close relationship. To know her has been an ongoing blessing over the last 46 years. You know, I know she's such an incredible mother and a woman of faith. I know she fears snakes, but she does not fear spiders. She's a super cook, an encourager, a peacemaker. She loves live theater and camping and geocaching, and she does not eat garlic, you might have known. And as I know Kathy, I know the vision she has of eventually retiring and spending time with her children and grandchildren. I also know she would like to camp and travel across Canada, especially to PEI, to see Anna Green Gables stuff. The reason I know Kathy's vision is because I know her and we have a relationship. And so we talk about the visions we have for the future. And Kathy's visions change things. Those visions which Kathy has changes the way we will do retirement. We will not spend 6 months each year in the warm sun of southern states. We will spend them in the cold interior, close to our children and grandchildren. Having a vision is important. It gives us focus and direction. And I know that for a fact because, you know, if I have a day off and I don't have a vision for that day off, if I don't have a plan for what I'm going to do on that day off, usually that day off is a wasted day and I sort of go from here to do this and do that and probably really don't get much accomplished, if anything. We need to have a vision. But just as we need to have a personal vision for our lives, we also need to know God's vision for our lives and for the church. I believe that that is ever so important. Yet we will never know God's vision if we don't know God. If we don't have a relationship with him, I would have never really known Kath vision if I didn't know her and if I didn't have that deep relationship with her. I mean, you could, if I hadn't told you, you wouldn't have known Kathy liked skiing or was a bowler or all those things, because you don't have that close relationship with her where you talk. You wouldn't know some of the things I know about her. But I think if we look at David's life in the Old Testament, we see he knows God, he has a relationship with God, and therefore saw the visions of God had for him and the nation of Israel. And when David knew God's vision for him and for the nation, it changed things. Everything changes when we know God's vision. I'm not talking about just knowing about God. I mean, that's part of it. David knew about God, and we all know about God. But I'm talking about knowing God, to know God and to know Him thoroughly, to have a close relationship with Him where you both are deeply, would share the deep recesses of your heart with one another, where we would share anything with God and God would share anything with us. That's what it's like to know God. We see this kind of relationship between God and David, and David really knows God. And this is a long portion of Scripture, but I think it's important. Psalm 63, verses 1 to 8. And this is David talking. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Well, David obviously wrote that just after he left church, right? And everything's going great in his life. I mean, when else would you write something like that? The truth is, David wrote this when he was fleeing from his son Absalom. Absalom was going to take over the kingdom, and he had planned to kill his father David. And David had left Jerusalem, and he's on foot trying to flee from Absalom. He's in the middle of the wilderness. David states, in the midst of all of that, he knows God is still God. He thirsts and longs for God. David knows God's power and His glory. In the most difficult time, his mind is on God, and it is on God that he wants to be with God. He thinks about Him day and night. You know, and this is not just one psalm that David writes about knowing God. You read through the Psalms and we read that David knows God, has an intimate and special relationship with God. So to know God is to love Him with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. That's what it is to know God. It's more than just knowing God loves us. It's knowing the joy of that love and living in it. Like, it's one thing to know that God loves us. Yeah, God loves us. If you went out in the world and you talked to people, yeah, I know God loves us. But we need to know that love and live in it. It's more than just knowing God has poured out his grace and mercy upon us. It is knowing how far that grace and mercy reaches into our lives. It's more than knowing that God forgives our sins. It's knowing the depth of that forgiveness, that depth which will forgive any sin we have, no matter what it is. It's more than knowing God is the Almighty God. It is knowing the awesomeness of it all and that we can gather right in to the very presence of God. So the question you might ask is, how do we come to really know God in the way that David came? Like, is David just some special guy and that we can't know God like David did? If that's your question, that's a great question. And you're on an incredible journey of exploring a relationship with God. I think the biggest way to get to know God is through experience. That's the biggest thing, is through experience. David did not wake up that morning when he was fleeing Absalom and go, you know what? I should really get into a close relationship with God. I think it's about time because my son's trying to kill me and take over the kingdom. I think today would be a good day. No, we hear him tell Saul years before that when he's about to fight Goliath, that God, he's had that relationship with God. He's seen God in his life over the years. Back when he was a little shepherd boy, he tells Saul, I saw God. He was there with me. He protected me against the lion and the bear. And he helped me protect the sheep, the flock. Yeah. I had a relationship, Saul, with God back then. And you know, Saul, I have a relationship with God now, and he will help me defeat Goliath. We read in 2 Samuel in chapter 6 of David's fervent worship before God as he brought the Ark of the Covenant into the city. And how he danced and reveled before the Lord. He was just spinning around and worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Why? Because he had a close relationship with God. And David experienced God's forgiveness when he committed adultery and murder. He knew he had that relationship with God. He knew more than God just forgives my sins. He knew how deep God's forgiveness was and his grace and mercy was. David might have even written the 23rd Psalm as an expression of him getting to know God through experience. Now just as I'm reading this, think about David's experiences and think about what he's saying here. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me by quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For his rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I mean, that's David's life experience there. He was a shepherd, and he's saying that God made him lie down, and God has led him by quiet waters, and he's restored his soul, and he guides him, and it's his life experiences. Also, I believe that experiences need to include spending time with God in prayer. That's how we get to know God. It's spending that time with Him in prayer, just sitting down in a quiet spot and talking with Him, just as we talk with one another and just sharing our deep, our innermost thoughts and hurts and our pains and our victories and our joys with Him. And saying, God, this is how I feel today. I feel hurt. Or I just feel so excited. I need you. We need to allow God to reveal His love and His mercy and His grace towards us as we just sit there in prayer. We need to talk to Him and allow Him to talk to us. In Psalm 86, verse 1, David wrote, "Hear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy." I mean, David's calling out to God and saying, I need to hear about your love, and I need to hear about your mercy, and I need to hear about your grace. I'm poor, I'm needy spiritually. I need you, God. I need that relationship with you. Along with prayer, we need to read through the psalm, or as we read through the Psalms, we see David's worship to God. When we read of those times of worship, we realize how close David is with God and how much he really knows Him. You know, as we worship God, He becomes real to us. As we draw near to Him, He draws near to us. That's what His Word says. The closer we come to Him, the closer He comes to us. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what a relationship was like? As I drew close to Kathy, the closer she comes to me. If I distance myself from Kathy, do you think she's going to draw close to me? No, you're a jerk, Scott. You're being ridiculous. I'm just going to back off. But, you know, as we get close to God, He draws close to us. We really start to grasp who He is. Another part of getting to know God is through reading His Word. As we set apart time each day to read the Bible, we start to build a solid foundation of who God is and what He's truly like. You know, that's what it was like with Kathy and me. I needed to hear her story. I needed to hear all about her. I needed to spend time with her. And our relationship grew stronger and stronger and stronger. And I knew her more, and she knew me more. Just as it takes time and effort to really get to know someone, it takes time and effort to get to know God. And I'll tell you, it's worth all the effort and pays huge rewards and blessings. We can know God in the same way as David knew God. When we know God, we can know His vision. We can look at the life of David and we see a man who knew God and therefore knew God's vision. Let's just look at David and Goliath. David hears Goliath taunting against the Israelites. And I knew we talked about David and Goliath about 5 weeks ago. But, you know, David hears Goliath taunting the nations. The nation. And in 1 Samuel 17, verse 26, David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God. David realizes God's vision for Israel was to defeat the Philistines. Without a doubt, he knows that God's vision is to defeat the Philistines and to remove the disgrace from the nation. That's God's vision for the nation right there. And God, David also knows God's vision for himself. For in verse 32, it says, David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." And then down in verses 45 and 46, David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with a sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head." David knows the vision God has for him. It's to go, and it's to fight the Philistine. It's to defeat the Philistine. He knows God's vision is to defeat the Philistine. And he's going to defeat him, and he's going to cut off his head, and the enemy is going to be wiped out. He knew God's vision was to defeat the Philistines and free Israel. God wants to reveal his vision for each one of us if we will seek to know God, if we will know him and have that intimate, close relationship with him. Most of us have heard Jeremiah 29:11, and this is God's vision for us, or part of it. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." I mean, this is an exciting promise for each one of us. The Lord knows the vision, the plans he has for us. The Lord knows how he will prosper us, gives us a hope and a future. The question is, do we want to know the vision he has for us? Do we want to know those plans that he has for us? Do we want to know how he's going to prosper us? And do we want to know the future he has for us? The future as he has for us and it has for the church. You see, we can know God's vision for our lives and the church as we know God. He will share those things with us as we worship him, as we pray with him, as we spend time in his word. He will share those things with us if we will have that deep, deep relationship with him. Once we know his vision changes everything. It changes everything. If we know God's vision for our lives, we cannot be the same person we were before we did. I mean, think of David. David was just a little shepherd boy out in the taking care of his sheep. And then he starts to have a revelation. He starts to have a vision of what God's plan is for him. He builds an intimate relationship with God so he knows those plans. And the bear and the lion come and God shows him. I mean, how many people are going to go out after the bear and lion and fight them with their bare hands or with a sling and defeat the bear and lion? Most of us would run and flee. But if you have a close relationship with God and God shows you, go for it, do it, you can be assured that you'll have the victory. It changes everything. It changed Israel's history. David went out and fought Goliath because God said, here's the vision for you, David. Go and fight them and defeat them. And Israel was set free. And the Philistines were defeated. God's vision changes everything. If I had not built a relationship with God, if I did not see God's visions, I wouldn't be a pastor. I probably wouldn't be a machinist either. I would probably be in some mental asylum now. Struggling with nervous breakdowns. Time and time again. That's where I would be if I didn't have a deep relationship with God. See, when we know God, we will be excited about God's vision for His kingdom and for us. It will change everything in our lives. As we know God, we will see clearly through God's eyes. We won't be looking through fogged glasses. It'll all be clear because we have a deep relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it will change everything when we start to see clearly as we seek Him in prayer, as we seek Him in worship, and as we seek Him as we read His Word. You know, we don't just read the Bible to read the Bible. We don't just come to church to come to church. We don't just sing songs to sing songs. I mean, Josh wasn't just leading worship to lead worship today. I mean, if he was, he would have just gone through the songs, plunk, 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 plunk. But ask Andy. He didn't. He changed the songs up because he was worshiping and leading us into the Holy of Holies. And I'm not saying that every worship leader needs to change the songs up in the order they put them down. What I'm saying is our worship teams don't come just to sing. They don't come to perform. They come to lead us into the Holy of Holies and to worship. They come so we can have a relationship. We read the Bible not just to get through the Bible and say, oh, I've read the Bible. Just look at Juvie's Bible. You don't just read it. Hers is all marked up, as most people do. They write in it, and they go, this is important to me. This is part of my relationship with God. As we read the Word, as we worship, as we spend time with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in relationship, it will change everything. We will know God's vision. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we can know you. Thank you that you give us examples like David and others in your word that know you. And they're just ordinary men and women like we are. And they have deep relationship. So that reveals to us that we can have deep relationship with you and know your vision for us. Father, that's our desire. Draw us by your Holy Spirit into that deeper relationship. Father, all we want from you is all that you have for us. Nothing more, nothing less. Relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And may we walk in it 24/7. Thank you, Father. And Lord, I just pray for safety and protection upon this church, upon our communities, from the virus, Lord. We just put our faith and our hope and our trust in you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.